Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Sure, how I feel about the Little League World Series being televised. Just saw a parent with like one of those face cutouts of his own kid waving it in the crowd. I guess I am sure how I feel. I don't like it. Dan Wolkin, USA Today national sports columnist, does a great job on college football and basketball, and he joins us now. How do you feel about Little Leaguers on ESPN?
Well, I don't really watch it, but Dan Wetzel from Yahoo, I think, has written almost every year around the Little League World Series that they should get paid. You know what? I think that's where I stand. I'm for just if you're going to put them on ESPN,
put them on.
Let's pay the Little Leaguers.
Let's pay these guys. Get them compensated. Sweatshop out there. What's going on with Urban Meyer? Where do you think this thing lands?
Well, it would just be a guess, but I think it's going to be hard to bring him back. And I know there's a lot of people now who believe that he's going to get suspended and he will remain the coach. But I still think unless you have a really good answer for why Zach Smith was kept on staff, even though there was plenty of reason to at least suspect that there were major problems going on, that he was a dangerous guy, unless you can come up with a good reason why nobody at Ohio State, whether Gene Smith or Urban Meyer, said, hey, you know what, let's put a stop to this. We can't have this on our staff. I don't know what the case would be to keep Urban as the coach. Because assistant coaches, especially wide receivers coaches, can get fired for a variety of reasons. They don't necessarily – to me, the reporting, did Urban report it to his superiors, is less of a factor here than just why he kept him on staff when he probably should not have.
For people just tuning in, we're talking to Dan Wolkin, USA Today national columnist. AJ Perez has a piece on USAtoday.com today that is about the investigation. Apparently, the Ohio State Board of Trustees, and the people doing this investigation, have not yet reached out to Zach Smith. They haven't even talked to him. What does that mean?
Well, I don't know, but it's in an investigation where supposedly it's going to be wrapped up in 14 days, and we're almost halfway through that at this point. Why they would not have even requested to have Zach Smith come in and talk to them kind of blows my mind. Now, maybe they are, maybe they feel like they don't need to and that this is all going to be about firing Urban Meyer anyway. But if you really want to do a thorough investigation, I don't know how you can bring Urban Meyer back without asking Zach Smith some questions. Like in 2015, after Gene Smith called you off the road from a recruiting trip, what happened? Who talked to you? Were you issued a warning? Were you punished in any way? What did Urban say to you? Were you given a rationale for why you kept your job? Like, I think those are some pertinent questions that if I were in that investigative group, I'd want answers to.
How different is Ohio State with Urban Meyer versus without this season?
Ooh, it's a good question. I mean, the thing is, Urban, his whole coaching genius has been about motivation. It's been about psychology. It's not as much X's and O's. He certainly has been an offensive innovator, but when you look at his staff and the people that they have running that offense, you've got Kevin Wilson, former head coach in Indiana. You've got Ryan Day on defense. You've got Greg Schiano. You've got Alex Grinch from Washington State. Like, his staff is deep. And so I think from a schematic standpoint, a preparation standpoint, they're fine. Like, they could get through the season and would be okay. Where Urban focuses a lot of his attention is just getting the most out of his guys, what that takes continually finding ways to motivate them. And so how much is that worth in a given season? I don't know. I know they're still the most talented team in the Big Ten, and they've got a good staff who will prepare those guys every week even without them. So I think they would be probably pretty good.
I can't decide if this is a good development for Oregon State, who is the opponent on September 1st, or a bad development. We've seen teams that lock in, like Deflategate and the Patriots, when there's controversy. We've seen teams that fall apart. What's your sense? You know, Ohio State wins the game, but is that game closer because of this, or does Ohio State come out like Hornets and blow them off the field because of this?
Yeah, what you'd be looking for is, are they disjointed in any way? Is there sort of a lack of energy, that kind of thing? But, you know, the other part of this that is really interesting is they're going into the season with a quarterback who really hasn't played. And that's going to be really fascinating. If Urban doesn't – if he's fired, if he's suspended to start the season, there are – some people who believe Tate Martell's got a chance to win that job. Most people think it's going to be Dwayne Haskins. And so you're throwing a quarterback out there against a Power 5 team, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and say Oregon State has got a chance to win that game, but it's a Power 5 team. And somebody who's so inexperienced, kind of what are they going to be going through? What are they going to be thinking? Are they going to need somebody on the sideline to calm them down? And so that's an interesting question. And also just who makes the call? Do they play two quarterbacks? Those are things Urban would be intimately involved in. But if he's not on the sideline, that is left to Ryan Day. And so who knows how that plays out.
Dan Wolkin with us, USA Today national columnist. I want to shift to college basketball. You had a great piece today, and I encourage people to read it on usatoday.com about the latest attempt by the NCAA to sort of make big changes. You're not buying all the changes as big changes.
Right. Look, I don't think they did anything destructive. I don't think they did anything bad. But I don't think they did anything meaningful except for what they did on the enforcement side. And so you've got two different things going on here. One, they're trumpeting, you know, players can have agents now and players can come back to college if they don't get drafted. And really, when you kind of boil it down, it's basically window dressing. Those changes are not going to impact hardly anybody, and there's so many conditions attached to it. When you say a player is going to be able to have an agent, that's so disingenuous that I don't even think it qualifies as news, really. Now, on the enforcement side, they have made a significant change in the way they are handling their most high-profile cases. And I don't know exactly how it's going to play out or what it portends, but it will be a big shift in how that investigative group goes about tackling the really high-profile cases.
Was that, do you think, a reaction to stuff like Louisville, stuff like Baylor? I mean, you tell me, what's the reaction there? Or was it simply that they can control enforcement better than maybe they can control some of the other avenues?
Well, I think it's partly that. I mean, look, if you are going to tell student-athletes you can hire agents, well, then you have to allow them to establish financial relationships with the agents. You have to allow them to take loans or things like that, which I would be fine with. I have no problem with that. I think that's what they should do. Frankly, that would clean up a lot of the nonsense. But on the enforcement side, a lot of these changes they have had the opportunity to do for years. And they have not done them. I think part of that is because collectively these college presidents only have wanted the veneer of enforcement. They, you know, a high-profile case once every couple years, you know, makes everybody feel like they're, you know, cracking down on cheaters. But everyone knows the process has been relatively toothless. This adds some more teeth to it and less due process, which is, I think, both good and bad. I think... the idea that now they can use other government agencies, the investigative work of, let's just say, the FBI, or if there was, you know, something, a tax issue, a bankruptcy proceeding, a criminal proceeding, where evidence of NCAA violations came to light. Previously, the NCAA could not use that. They would have to do their own investigation. now they can basically just import that information and let their investigators make that part of the case, which is a massive change and really empowers the NCAA to maybe crack down a little bit more. And also, you know, some of the more complex cases, the more high profile and contentious cases, and we could name a bunch of them in recent years, whether Ole Miss, Miami, North Carolina, Oregon, USC, they would now go to a separate body. They would bring in, instead of just the NCAA enforcement people, they'd bring in independent investigators to help build the case. And the case would be heard by an independent panel of people who are not affiliated with any school. So that's a major departure, and I don't know how that will play out.
We're talking to Dan Wolkin, USA Today national columnist. Before I cut you loose, you hit on something. You tweeted a couple days ago about Brett McMurphy. He's the reporter for People Tuning In who has been all over the Ohio State story and reported it well. You deal with this. I deal with this. You had a great tweet about sports reporters who take on tough stories or controversial stories. You're often in a situation where you're just looking for facts, and you and I are the same in that we both deal in the world of facts and then opinion that are supported by those facts. But why do we have to explain to people that we're not biased so often?
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen, because what ends up happening is within a fan base, whoever's in the crosshairs of the media, of a scandal, of the NCAA, whatever it is, they basically believe that the people who are covering that story are biased, when in fact, as fans, by definition, you are the one who is biased. And I don't mean that to, impart any level of contentiousness or to try to, to talk down to fans. I don't intend that at all. But you have to understand that in this relationship, you are the one, by definition, as a fan, who has a biased view of the situation. As reporters, I mean, yes, there are certainly reporters who have biases or, who have to put aside certain biases to deal with the story. But ultimately, if we're measuring bias here, it's the people who, pay money to go to the games and who root for the coaches and who are wearing the shirts and the bumper stickers and all that stuff. You're the ones who are predisposed to have an opinion rather than the reporters who, I think, by and large, look for the facts and let the facts lead them to wherever that may be.
I said earlier in the week that I felt like, this stuff happens at Penn State, it happens at Baylor, Oregon State certainly had its case with Luke Heimlich, the pitcher who was a sex offender. And, I said, look, I think why fans will defend those cases is they know they're going to continue to root for and cheer for that team because it's as much a part of their legacy and their family history, going to games and tailgating and I'm a fan of Oregon or I'm a fan of Oregon State becomes part of who you are. And in order to feel good about it, you have to kind of find a crack in the seam where you can go, all right, well, yeah, he's a sex offender, but yeah, Urban Meyer did this, but yeah, well, he followed the rules. Well, is that enough that you followed the rules? So I think, I always have struggled with, okay, why did fans at Penn State support Joe Paterno to the end? Why do fans at Baylor support Art Briles? Do you wrestle with that at all?
Yeah, it's tough. And look, the media is not perfect, and I understand. And sometimes mistakes are made, and sometimes. Let me just say this from my end, and I've gotten it from a number of different fan bases. A lot of times, if I get on a story and it's a story that I talk about a lot, or that that they may seem like I'm invested in an outcome one way or the other, it's hard to sort of explain that I'm only interested in the story because it's a good story, because there's a lot there, because it's the kind of thing that deserves a lot of attention. And I know that, and I can understand that from a fan's point of view, they might feel like it's piling on. But one thing I always say is, when a fan base is coming after me, what I always say is, you guys think about me way more than I think about you. you know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm covering a lot of different stuff. I'm covering a lot of different stories. If it happens to be for one stretch of time that I'm really interested in what's going on your campus, then in a year, probably, or in 2 years, I'm not going to talk about you. It's just, it's hard for people to wrap their minds around the idea that when they're the biggest thing going on right now, they get all the attention. And then when the story's over, we move on, but they don't.
Dan Wolkin, USA Today. Well put. Thank you, man, for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Good stuff from Wolkin. Follow him on Twitter. It's a good follow. You're not going to agree with everything he says. I don't. But he'll certainly make you think. Leave it right here. Big Splash next.
Crank up the hits. We're rocking your eardrums with the best Oregon college football coverage this fall. On 102.9 and 750 The Game. Presented by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Bobby Bean asked me during the commercial break if I've had my voice checked. It's been going on for like a month. I just need to stop talking. How do I do that?
Yeah, how do you do that? Good question. Do you have an answer?
I have no answer for that. What do I need to do? Stop yelling? Yes.
You yell? Are you
sometimes
yelling?
When this show is on, it's, and I think when I originally did the damage to my vocal cords, I was sick, right? So I'm under the weather, and I always tell people in radio, nobody wants to hear when you're sick. Don't talk about being sick. Don't talk about being tired. Don't tell me how tired you are. I remember over the years, 11 or 12, 13 years, I don't know how long we've done the show, but I remember over the years, people have come in and they've been like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm like, you know what? Don't talk about that on air unless there's a relevant reason or an interesting reason you're talking about it. Like, if you've been up all night, tell me why. But don't tell me how tired you are. Alabama Adriana, right before the show, was like, oh, my knee. And nobody wants to hear about your knee on air unless there's a good story behind it.
There's a decent story behind
it. What's the story behind the knee?
I was at the gym this morning, and I was squatting really light, but I did about 10 reps. What?
I was just hashtagging there. Humble brag.
Okay, whatever.
Was it the gym?
But I did like 10 reps and then I stopped and then I was going to go do another set.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one down, I was like, nope. So I set it back up. I felt like I've never like torn an ACL or anything like that. But from what I've heard, the pressure, that's what I felt. And I felt like that was about to happen.
You need to stop lifting so heavy.
I was lifting really light.
Is this whole segment just designed to try to get you more dates?
Absolutely
like, hey,
not.
Guys, I'm in the gym.
No more applicants are being accepted at this time.
Oh, are you full? How many do you have right now?
Enough.
How many is enough?
Wow.
Across all social media platforms, there have been probably like 5 to 7.
Okay.
It's not that many.
It's too much for me.
We've had more in the history of this show. I'm keeping her humble here. We've had dozens sometimes come out of the woodwork. We had one time. we had one time advertised. Remember John Strong, the voice of American soccer, worked on this show once upon a time. We had said back in the day that like he had no life, wasn't dating anybody, all of that. We even had a psychic who came on who said, you know, he's not getting himself out there. And he didn't like it. Like, maybe we're picking on him a little bit by doing so. Here's the psychic.
I'm getting that actually when he gets out and has fun, he's a fun guy. It's just he doesn't give himself a chance to meet anybody. So until he switches that to taking more interest in getting out and having fun, see him kind of going along just as he is.
We had like dozens of women who suddenly were like, oh, I want to get to know that guy. He's off the market officially. Maybe if you had less fun, you'd have more opportunities, you know? Just saying. Try to go the opposite. Try to do the opposite of that. Why is it on social media that you're getting asked out? Why are they not calling into the show like I told them to do?
They're scared, which is not the type of person that I want to be with.
That's what I'm saying. you want the kind of guy who's going to pick up the phone and call into the show and be like, you know what? You, me, a salt and straw, boom, mic drop, right?
Yeah, I mean, it shows confidence, and I'm about that life, so.
She likes salt and straw as well. All right, 503-417-7575. It brings us to our big splash. It's the one thing in sports that you need to know today.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look, look, look at it.
Where? Down there.
Must be the big splash.
Well, Ricky Fowler, red hot, leads the PGA after the opening round. He shot 65. Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth, two of the big names, trying to catch up to him. Tiger Woods battled back to finish even par after a rough start. Rory McIlroy at even par as well. Ricky Fowler, this might be your tournament. That's the one thing you need to know. Leave it here. We go into the 1 o'clock hour. We'll go to Seattle to talk about the Washington Huskies, and we'll find out about Oregon State football.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.